Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to get through chapter 6 for sure, unless the Lord comes back. We'll go through and read it. And let's start in verse 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. It says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Verse 9. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen." Let's pray. We'll get into it. Thanks, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you open it to our hearts like Jade was talking about. Father, we want that to be exactly what happens here. We thank you that when we come here, Lord, we get to speak our hearts to you in worship, and then we get to hear your voice in the word. And Lord, that's what we want. We pray that you, again, would be speaking to us. Bless the time in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we started chapter 6 last week, and we got a little ways into it. And basically, when I go through and I'm doing a chapter or I'm doing a section of scripture, what I'll do is I'll outline it. And in fact, I teach from outlines. And so when I divided up this chapter, I divided it up. Basically, I gave the whole chapter the title, Dealing with the World. And first vocationally, and you see that in verses 1 and 2, and then materially, and you see that in actually verses 3, actually all the way through the end of the chapter. He goes basically 3 down to 11, or down to 10, but then he picks it up again in verse 17. And so you see materially how we're supposed to be dealing with the world, and then finally intellectually. In verse 20, you have us having to deal with the world. We talked last week about dealing with the world vocationally, and it's just the idea of being others-centered, being Christ-centered when you're living your life. And so in the first section there, we talked about bondservants in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament times, and that corresponds to being an employee. And as an employee, what I'm supposed to be doing is treating my boss like he's Jesus. And I know he's not Jesus, and you know, I don't bow down to him or pray to him or things like that, but I treat him like he's Jesus. There's this whole thing in Scripture with submission and authority. And so when I'm submitting to somebody, I'm supposed to be treating them like they're the Lord. And if I'll do that, my relationship with them gets a whole lot better. And on the other hand, if I'm the person who's in authority, I'm supposed to be treating people the way that Jesus would treat them. And so if I'm underneath, I'm treating them like Jesus. If I'm on the top, then what I'm supposed to be doing is treating them as Jesus would. I need to act like Jesus in those situations. And if you will do those things, then things will be good. And if you don't want to do those things, things will be bad. And I majored last week on the relationship from the bottom up. Basically, let me talk to you a little bit more about the relationship from the bottom down. Most times I've been from the bottom up dealing with guys. And God has always blessed that when I treated them honorably and treated them in a responsible way in the sense of treating them like they're Jesus. And then I've been on top. And when you're on top, when you're the manager, when you're the foreman, when you're the contractor, when you're the business owner, you don't get to be a tyrant. You don't get to. And I don't care about what your past has been. I've had guys that I worked with that got beat up in high school or picked on in high school, and you give them a little bit of authority and they just become a monster to the people who are around them. And you don't get to do that. And just because you were the oldest in your family and you always got your way, and now you got some authority in the job, you're going to do the same thing there. You don't get to do that. What you're supposed to be doing is treating people in the right way. And I understand that when you're in situations like that, I've been both an employee and then a foreman and then a boss. I've been in all the different positions that you have there. And so I understand all the ins and outs that go along with those things. And I understand that when you're an employer, you want to treat people like you know, that fairly, and you want to treat them the way that they should be treated, but sometimes people just do things that are messed up. And so I have fired people. And I fired people at Calvary Chapel. And so I fired teachers, I fired guys on staff, I fired people at Calvary Chapel. And if I fire somebody, it's because there's been a major problem. And people have been talked to and talked to and talked to. And finally, you just have to go, no, we're not doing this anymore. And so I understand that. And you can do that and still do it in a Christ-like manner. Sometimes the reaction from that isn't so great. And so I've had decent reactions in that situation where people have said to me, you know what, I'm really sorry and I understand. I understand that I need to go. And then I've had bad reactions with that. And I don't care. What we're supposed to be doing is doing the right thing in those situations. And so I get that too. When I look at my relationship with my employees and the people in my office, and a little bit less the people who are over in the school because I don't see them as much. Actually, I was walking by the other day, and every time that they have a meeting, Bobby has meetings with all the teachers. And every time they're having a meeting with all the teachers, I come over. I always interrupt their meeting. And it's like, I don't even know they're having a meeting, but I'm always there. It's the only time I come over and I interrupt their meeting. And so I'm walking by the junior high room. They're all meeting in there, and I kind of glance over, and there they are. I'm looking for Bobby, and I poke my head in, and it's all these ladies that are sitting there. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to come in there. Is Michael Fesser in there? You know, he's our only guy teacher, you know, and so I'm goofing around with it and that kind of thing. But Bobby's usually over with them, but I don't have as close a relationship. But everybody in my office is my friend. We're all friends, and I treat them. They're just my friends, and so I treat them that way. And they know that I'm still the boss, and it can be done. It can be done. And so if you're a boss, you have to be a godly boss. It's a good witness. And again, I'm not saying that you don't have to at times say no to people, and you don't have to at times even fire people if it needs to happen. And so I get that whole thing. But if you do it this way, then God just blesses it. He goes from there and he talks about people who will contradict that kind of teaching. And he begins talking about false teachers. And again, we hit on this last week, and it's why we got into the materialism part. False teachers are always into getting something from you. That's what they're into. If you got somebody who's constantly, you know, they're supposed to be teaching you the Bible, but they're constantly wanting something from you, you've got a problem there. Because Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be the servant of all. It's not the other way around. You're not all here to serve me, right? And so anybody who's involved in ministry is here to serve you. And that doesn't mean that you need to walk up to them and go, by the way, you're my servant. It's a kowtow right now. You know, you don't need to have that attitude, but still, that's the way that it's supposed to be. And I'm not supposed to be trying to manipulate you and get stuff out of you. And that's where false teachers are at. When you're dealing with a false teacher, money's coming up. It's coming up. And sometimes it's not money, sometimes it's power, sometimes it's influence. The Bible talks about guys whose God is their belly, and what they're trying to do is take disciples away for themselves. That's a whole power trip type of thing. I just want these people with me, and I want them to validate me, and they want them to support me, and that kind of thing. And that's messed up. That is not what's supposed to be happening. Basically, what I'm doing here is teaching a Bible study. If you'd like to come, I'd love to tell you. That's what's happening. And so it's gotten bigger, but it's just a big Bible study to me. And I like that. And I know that it's a church and all the ins and outs. I'm not unaware of those things. But I just keep these things simple. And if you don't want to come, okay. That's all right. If you want to come and cause a ruckus, no. No, you don't get to do that. And so, again, you have these things. And so he's talking about people who, literally, verse 5, it says, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. That verse actually in Greek says, gain is godliness. And it's the teaching that if you are a good Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus for real, then you're going to be rich. And there are people who teach this, aren't there? They fill up whole stadiums with people who teach this. So if I just go to church and I just say the right things and I pray the right way, then I'm going to get rich. Awesome. God owes me. You know, that kind of attitude. Gain is godliness. And my translation says, from such withdraw yourself. Get away from them. I know that some of you have newer translations that leave that verse out. Let me tell you something about this. There's only a couple of manuscripts that leave the verse out, just a few. It's less than five, most likely. Last time I looked, it's less than five. But we have the verse in the writings of the church fathers hundreds of years before those documents, and there are over 5,000 Greek manuscripts that have this in it. It says, from such withdraw yourself. And so you know what I think about that verse? I think it's supposed to be there. From such withdraw yourself. And that's what God says about false teachers. It doesn't say go up and try to encourage them, or go up and try to play nice with them, or go up and, you know, it doesn't say anything like that. What it says is when you get a guy that's like that, you withdraw yourself from them. Move away from them. And again, it's like this in a number of different places. It talks about divisive men need to be withdrawn from. You don't hang out with them. You get away from them. There are people, you know, I've been a Christian since 75. So what's that? That's almost 40 years now. So is that right? No. I'm a math guy. 85, 95, 205. Yeah, 43 years. Good grief. I'm old. 44 years. And so I've been around that long, and I do not disobey these verses. I do not. And the reason is because I'm really, really smart. This is what I mean by that. I know that God knows more than I do. And so if God says it, I can come up with all kinds of reasons that maybe, you know, God is just being, you know, maybe he's having an off day and maybe he's being a little mean here or something like that. And I understand that God knows people better than I do. And so I don't disobey the Bible. So there's certain things that I've run into specifically with false teachers and guys who want to draw off disciples after themselves and what the Bible has to say about that. And I do exactly what it says, and I do not compromise. And that's what you should do too. Because when you do it the other way, what you do is you mess things up. And here's some other things that I've learned in my walk with God. Number one, God knows more than I do. And so if he says something like this, he's got good reasons for it. Number two, I'm not nicer than God is. So I see something that God says, and he's unequivocal about it, and he just states these things, and I go, wow, that's a little over the top. That's a little harsh. That's a little intense. You know, again, is God having a bad day? And the answer to that is no, he's not. I'm not nicer than him. He loves people. What I've seen over the years is when people disobey these things, what they do is they end up causing literally the guy who's caught up in the stuff more problems. They stay there longer. They have an excuse longer. They have more reason to cause more turmoil. And what people do is they just cause the problem to just go on and on and on. There are people that I know that have been caught up in messed up situations that were there for years longer because Christians got in the way of what God was doing with them. Years. And some of the ones that I know have come out of that and figured it out. But I'm really not smart enough to come in and countermand everything that God said about a situation. So if I got somebody who's a false teacher in this kind of instance specifically, somebody who's teaching the gain is godliness, what I do is I find out if that's exactly what I've got, find out if that's it, and I go, later. And I move away. I just get away from them. I don't hang with them. And so, you have that. Verse 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And so I need to be somebody who is content specifically with food and clothing. It doesn't even say shelter there. So all I need is something to fill my belly and something to cover my body, and I should be content with that, is what it says in the passage. And again, it's the idea of my trust is not in the funds that I can make or the things that people can give me. My trust is in the Lord. And God's going to take care of me, or he's not. He's either going to keep his promises, or he's not. And so when I look at my life financially, I've talked to you about some of the things that God has done with me in those areas. And when I look at my life financially, I don't trust in paychecks. You know, I like them. I'm like anybody else. I like to get a paycheck. I used to work in construction, and there were times when I worked for guys that were just on it. They did a good job as far as their business went, and then there were times when they weren't. And in the times when they weren't, there were times when I didn't get paychecks. Anybody had that happen with you? Raise your hand. Yeah. Were you in construction? Yeah. It's always construction. And so you got a boss. I had a boss one time where when it was a choice between making payroll or paying for or buying a boat, guess what he did? Yeah, he went out and bought a boat instead of making payroll. And so that was, I had this boss, it was when Bobby and I were first married. And so I would come home and she'd go, did you get your paycheck? She's waiting at home for that. Did you get your paycheck? And I'd come in and go, well, no, he didn't give it to me. What is wrong with him? What are we going to do? Stuff like that. And I'd just go, trust God. Actually, I didn't do it that way, but I did do that. And so, you know, there were a couple of times when those things would happen, it would be a real trial, and it just happened to be the job that I had, and I'd just go, you know what, Jesus is going to take care of us. And one of Bobby's problems was that she married me, and God takes me through those kinds of trials all the time. And so now she's stuck with me and my trials, and that's what was happening with her. And so, you know, it's one of those things that God moved me on, got better bosses, that kind of stuff, became a boss, never did that to anyone, never. Did that to anyone. And so you can learn from those things, right? But we trust in the Lord. We don't trust in our paycheck. We trust in the Lord. We don't trust in our retirement account. First service, I've got a retirement account and I put money into it and stuff like that. And actually the guy who runs my retirement account comes to our church. And so first service, I'm like, I got a retirement account. And I obviously don't trust in it because I don't pay any attention to it. And I'm probably not handling it right. And, you know, I was repenting in front of him without letting anybody know who he was. But I do have a retirement account. I don't trust in it, obviously. You know, and those are good things. And there's nothing wrong with them. But your trust is supposed to be in the Lord. So what happens if your retirement account gets wiped out? What if the economy goes down the tubes? All that stuff's tied in with the stock market, right? What if the economy goes down the tubes and you lose all this money, right? What are you going to do? And where's your trust at? Are you going to go out and jump out a window because you lost all your goodies? Or are you going to, you know, continue to trust in the Lord? And that's the point that he makes in this passage. He says again in the passage, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And that's the truth. I came in naked, I'm leaving naked. That's what Job said. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you can't take it with you. Heard about a guy who decided that he wanted to, and he's a Christian, and he was a rich man, and he's like, Lord, I just want to take my money with me. And God argues with him for a while, and then finally, you know, the guy bugs him so much that he goes, okay, fine. Whatever you want to bring with you, you can put it into a suitcase, bring it, you know, put it in your coffin. We'll, you know, we'll take care of it when you get to heaven. You can bring it with you. And so the guy goes out and transfers all his money into gold bullion, and he fills up a suitcase with gold bullion. He dies, sticks it in the coffin with him, right? And so the day he goes into the ground, he appears before the gates of heaven, and Peter's there because that's where Peter's always at the gates of heaven. He's always hanging out there in every joke I know. And so Peter's there, and this dude comes walking up with a suitcase, and Peter goes, "Hey, what are you doing? You bringing a suitcase? I have never seen anybody bring a suitcase to heaven. Why are you bringing a suitcase?" "Well, I had a talk with the Lord, and he said I could bring some stuff with me." And he goes, "That's amazing. That has never happened before. What's in it?" And the guy opens it up. He's all proud. He opens it up, and there's a whole pile of gold bullion in the suitcase. Peter looks down at the pile, and he looks up at the guy. He looks down at the pile, and he looks up at the guy, and he goes, "You brought pavement?" Streets of gold. Get it? It's a great joke. How many of you already knew I was going to tell that joke? Praise the Lord. There are very few "you can't take it with you" jokes. I've been searching, but I like that one a lot. And you can't, you know? And again, that's the point. He says, "Those," verse 9, "who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." We all know all kinds of people who want to get rich quick, and they do stupid things. They're constantly going down, and they're buying lotto tickets and that kind of stuff, and spending the rent money on get rich quick schemes. Proverbs 15:27, if you want to look that up, talks about that. And we're not to be like that. We have other things that are more sophisticated. We have there are these things that come through churches routinely where they're like pyramid schemes. And they're not all pyramid schemes. So like Amway was a big one back in the 80s when I was a youth pastor. Everybody's coming in with Amway. And they're looking at every brother and sister that they have in church as a possible source of income. Not good. That's not good. And then later on, you have these pyramid schemes where, you know, you can get in on the ground level. And when you get in on the ground level, you're on this level. And then you get other people underneath you, and they're paying you, and you're paying up, and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, it's not really a good thing. And that's not what you want to do with brothers and sisters. And again, it's a get-rich-quick scheme. I had a buddy of mine, this is my favorite story about this, but I had a guy that I actually led to the Lord. And he'd gotten out of jail, and he was over at my house doing counseling with me, and he was talking about financial issues, and he looks around at my house, and he goes, "You know what, Steve, I just want everything you have." Guy got out of jail, wants everything I have. He wasn't meaning it that way. You know how he's meaning it. He's in his 20s, and I'm in my 30s at that point, about 32 years old. And I go, do you know how long it took me to get this? Started working in construction when I was 19 years old. Now I'm 32 years old. And so we got over a decade here. And so, dude, talk to me again in a decade. God's going to bless you. You're going to go out and you're going to work. You're going to labor with your own hands. You're going to be a faithful employee. You're going to get raises. Those things are going to happen. And God's going to take care of you. But it's not going to be a get-rich-quick scheme type of situation. And again, those who desire to be rich, and just that attitude, "I want to be rich," is not something that we're supposed to be having. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it talks about, "God, I don't want to be rich, you know, unless I forget you. I don't want to be poor unless I curse you. Feed me with food that's right for me."
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our summer service times are 8 a.m. in our sanctuary and 10 a.m. in our outdoor amphitheater. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.